Mr. Ambassador. As the crow flies, Santa Isabel, Equatorial Guinea, sits fewer than 600 miles from Kano, Nigeria, but it was like a world away. The trip from Anglophone Africa, through Francophone Africa, to the only Spanish-speaking country in sub-Saharan Africa, required 3 flights and 3 travel days. Happily, Charles, now a big 5-year-old, and even Ginger, just turned 2, were good travelers. Smallpox colleagues hosted us and our cat, Caesar, in Lagos the first night, sending us off the next day for our flight to Douala, Cameroon. The U.S. Vice Consul greeted us in Douala, his high-pitched voice piercing through the airport hubbub. He helped us through customs and said he'd drive us to the hotel where the consulate had reserved our room for the night. As he maneuvered his car through the chaos of bicycles, cars, trucks, and crowds of pedestrians, I expected him to say something like, "I can't believe you're going to a place like Equatorial Guinea," or at least, "Good luck." Maybe he was too busy avoiding pedestrians and crashes and making good use of the horn, but he didn't say a word about trouble there. I had to ask. He seemed nonchalant. Yes, President Macias was a bad guy, but his actions weren't directed at outsiders, and I didn't need to worry. Besides, over the past month, calm had been largely restored on the island. There was that phrase again. Calm restored. Well, okay, maybe Carl had overreacted and misinterpreted just a bit when he read the cables in Lagos. Being so serious-minded, he could worry about his family too much at times. Yeah, that was it. After all, this vice consul probably read daily cable traffic, too. I could relax. And our children were so young that any difficulties we might have surely wouldn't affect them. At the hotel, our escort said he would take us back to the airport the next morning. After he checked us in and was headed for the door, he said over his shoulder that, "By the way, Ambassador Hofficker would be flying over to the island with us tomorrow. It was time for his quarterly visit." I had never met an ambassador, and tomorrow I had to travel with one? Now where did I put that protocol guide? I only skimmed the confusing calling card etiquette that went something like, "When calling on a person of higher rank, for example, an ambassador's wife, place the card on the silver tray provided. If calling in person, turn down the card's upper right corner." Then came many details about which corner to turn down to convey which message and when to place what initials on the card. But calling card protocol wasn't going to help me tomorrow. I had to get this foreign service stuff straight, learn some titles at least. I'd have questions in the morning. The hotel's front desk had paper. I had crayons. These would occupy part of our evening. We had some dinner and settled in. Caesar meowed furiously. We let him out of his cage and gave him the run of the room. I read a couple of books to the kids, settled them into bed, and then tried to sleep. What was that about the ambassadors visiting the embassy? I didn't understand. May 10, 1970. I got some answers on the way to the airport. Since Santa Isabel was such a small post, Ambassador Lou Hofficker was accredited to both Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea. His resident embassy was in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and he visited the embassy in Santa Isabel once a quarter, staying 4 or 5 days each time. Chargé d'affaires Al Williams was the person in charge in Santa Isabel except during the ambassador's visits. I felt a little nervous and must have wiped the perspiration from the back of my neck as we approached the airport. Even an ambassador's full title is intimidating. Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary. When we arrived at the airport, Ambassador Hofficker was deep in conversation with the U.S. consul. He looked pretty serious. Under his wire-rimmed glasses and every hair-in-place coif, his expression was one I couldn't read. Maybe it was the blank diplomatic mask I'd heard people talk about. I took a deep breath. I could do this.